WPFP, translator W276DJ at 103.1 FM Park Falls, Wisconsin. Broadcasting from an old rickety shack on the shores of the Flambeau River. This is Jack FM.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Former President Donald Trump scored a decisive win in South Carolina's Republican primary as he beat the twice-elected governor of the state, Nikki Haley, and he himself spent little time campaigning in South Carolina.
This was a little sooner than we anticipated. It was an even bigger win than we anticipated.
Haley says she will stay in the race through Super Tuesday when there are 16 nominating contests. Through his campaign, President Biden condemned the former president for, quote, having opened the door to strict abortion and IVF bans. U.S. and British forces struck 18 Houthi targets in Yemen, the latest response to attacks by the Iranian-backed militia on ships in the region. And optimism about a renewed ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. A draft agreement includes the release of up to 40 women and older people held hostage in Gaza. This is ABC News. Oppenheimer continued to steamroll through Hollywood's award season. ABC's Chuck Sievertson has details.
This is a national emergency.
Oppenheimer winning the top movie prize for outstanding cast, plus awards for Cillian Murphy and Robert Downey Jr. at the Screen Actors Guild Awards in Los Angeles. Wins at the Golden Globes and BAFTAs making Christopher Nolan's blockbuster biopic look like the Oscar favorite. Lily Gladstone won Best Female Lead for Martin Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon. Best TV Comedy and Drama casts to The Bear and Succession. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
For the first time since 2007, a woman umpired a Major League Baseball spring training game. Jen Powell was part of the umpiring crew for Saturday's Grapefruit League game in Florida between the Houston Astros and Washington Nationals. She's umpired in the minor leagues for 8 years. No woman has ever umpired a regular season Major League game. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Farmers have been urged for years to adopt more climate-friendly and sustainable practices. New numbers suggest they're making progress. Mike Moan reports.
This month, the USDA released the new Census of Agriculture, data that only comes around every 5 years. Mike Lavender with the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition says there's numbers detailing how much farmland is being used for climate-friendly practices. He notes there were some bright spots, but also room for opportunity.
Some of the data that we're seeing within the census reinforces for us that in so many ways it is about access to programs within USDA or information, making sure that we can use all of those avenues to drive adoption in the way that we know there is demand for.
Conservation data examples include an increase in the use of no-till practices, while the number of farmers using rotational grazing is down. Between 2017 and 2022, Wisconsin farmers boosted key conservation work, including the planting of cover crops. And while the data is new, Lavender cautions it doesn't capture how farmers are responding to new incentives from the federal government.
This is certainly pre-Inflation Reduction Act investment data. So while this is, of course, accurate and really important to wrap our heads around, there's even newer data that we're getting from Inflation Reduction Act funding demand that it's important to take into account.
The IRA provided nearly $20 billion to bolster funding for popular conservation programs. The USDA reported that applications exceeded the extra funding that was set aside. Ag researchers have noted while there's demand for these incentives, farmers have often faced barriers to being approved, with only one in four applicants being successful. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Big win for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After a rough start under new head coach Doc Rivers, the Bucks beat the Timberwolves in Minnesota, 112-107. Giannis with 33 points, Damian Lillard with 21, then went live after the game on ESPN.
A lot of scrutiny about Doc Rivers after the 3-7 start, but this is a very impressive win. From the inside, what has that transition been like?
On the inside, it's been good. I think we understand that. Having our third coach this season, including our interim coach, it's going to take some time, you know, to get adjusted and to kind of reestablish who we want to be and what we want to do on both sides of the ball. And when you're going through that type of transition mid-season, you can run up against a team that's just flowing well. You can run up against a team that's just feeling good. A lot of things can happen, and, you know, we just haven't been on the winning side. But I think on the inside, we can feel the tide turning. Just got to do what we do and just keep pushing. That's it.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see some areas of light snow, sprinkles, and flurries today. Highs warming to the lower 40s, and west winds will be a bit breezy. Tonight, sprinkles and flurries will be ending. Partly cloudy skies, lower 20s by Monday morning, lower 50s Monday afternoon. Right now, it's 28.
You're listening to Radio Health Journal, the trusted news source for medicine, science, and technology. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
I'm Shel Lustig.
And I'm Greg Johnson. This week, why should students write their notes by hand?
Anytime you use a different tool, it naturally is going to change the way you think. Sometimes just because it speeds you up or slows you down, sometimes because it forces you to organize information differently.
But first, do twins lack a sense of individuality?
I was talking to this little girl, a twin, and she goes, "It really hurts my feelings that my friends don't care enough about me to know who I am."
All that and more this week on Radio Health Journal.
For John's 60th birthday, his family planned to drive down Old Route 66. But the trip took a detour when his wife got sick with RSV. It's a highly contagious virus that can lead to breathing problems and hospitalizations.
This year, we don't want to cancel our plans. We're protecting ourselves with Pfizer's RSV vaccine, Abrysvo, respiratory syncytial virus vaccine.
Abrysvo, a vaccine to prevent lower respiratory disease from RSV in people 60 years and older. It's not for everyone and may not protect all who receive it. Don't get Abrysvo if you've had an allergic reaction to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may decrease your response. Most common side effects are tiredness, headache, injection site pain, and muscle pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-844-989-7284 or visit Abrysvo.com.
So don't wait. Ask your pharmacist or doctor about Pfizer's RSV vaccine, Abrysvo, because every breath matters.
Twin pregnancies have historically been considered high risk, especially in the past when we couldn't ensure the safety of the baby or mother. However, a 2021 paper published in Human Reproduction reveals that twins are being born now more than ever before. While the researchers think that medically assisted reproduction, like IVF, is a factor in this rise, Dr. Joan A. Friedman, a psychotherapist and twin expert, says a woman's age plays a part as well.
They've also found out, too, now that you have a higher percentage of having fraternal twins if you're older. And it's because as women get older, they tend to overovulate and they can drop two eggs during a cycle as opposed to one. And so that's a part of being older. And that's why a lot of older women find themselves, when they only wanted one child, having two.
CDC data suggests that women are getting pregnant later in life, with 20% in the U.S. having their first child after age 35. Friedman herself is an identical twin.
I was born many years ago and there were no twins. So it was before IVF and everything. So twins were always very special, quite a spectacle, you know, and my parents certainly didn't know what to do with us. And the reason I have my A in my name is because my parents couldn't give us a middle name. They were so overwhelmed. So I'm born first. So I'm Joan A and my sister's Jane B. So people go, why do you always want your A in there? It's because it's part of who I am. It's very important.
Friedman says her parents were swept up in the common perception of twins, which is that they are essentially the same person split into two bodies.
My mom dressed us alike until we were 10. Which is, when I think about it or say it, it's mind-boggling to me. It only stopped because either, I don't know if it was me or my sister, finally said, enough already.
Along with the identical styles, Friedman's parents decided their daughters would share a bedroom and bathroom. Even though there was more than enough space for separate rooms, they thought the twins wouldn't want to be split up.
It was like we were a couple. And it could have been so simple to say, okay, you sleep here, you know, you can sleep downstairs. But that was never in anyone's consciousness that you actually might have wanted some privacy or some individuality or maybe your own room or maybe your own choice about how you wanted to do things. It just wasn't in anyone's mind to do that because twins were twins and twins were special and twins needed to be together.
And so Friedman and her sister grew up exactly alike. Same classes, same activities, same friends. There was never any encouragement to be her own person. Eventually, even their names became one.
My father couldn't figure out, he would call us Jayone because he couldn't figure out who was who. My grandparents couldn't figure out who was who. And it sounds funny, but you know, when you're so old and people can't figure out your name or who you are, it's such a narcissistic blow.
So when Friedman found out she was pregnant with twins at age 40, she vowed to be the parent she needed growing up. She knew it would be different than raising her three previous children and spent the pregnancy thinking of the best strategy to parent twins as two individuals.
You know, I got all caught up in my things and my thinking and my philosophy and my ideas, which were really back then very controversial. Because when I started to say what twins really need is one-on-one time with each parent, it's like, oh, no, we don't want to do that. It's not fair. We can't separate them. You know, they're going to miss each other. And it felt like King Solomon, you know, like, I'm making you split this baby in half and that's what you have to do. So it was a lot of sort of teaching people the idea about the importance of the attachment, that the parent-child attachment was much more important than the twin-to-twin attachment.
Friedman made sure to carve out dedicated one-on-one time with each of her sons, then took it a step further. She wanted them to feel comfortable and strong on their own without a partner to always fall back on. In order to achieve this goal, she rejected the stereotypical idea of twins being connected in every aspect of life.
We sent them to different activities. I took them to different toddler groups and never told anyone that they were twins because I couldn't stand it because I'd spent my whole life, oh, you're a twin, you're a twin. It's like, enough. So then we sent to separate day camps. They went to separate overnight camps. They went to separate community service countries.
All so her boys could realize that they were resilient enough to stand on their own. That's not to say that they enjoyed it. Friedman says it was difficult for them, especially with one being more introverted than the other. But she believes it was the best way to prepare them for a future going to separate colleges and living apart from one another. This personal case study started Friedman down a path of counseling other twins through their unique issues.
And that's hard for twins to find someone who really understands what they're going through, because twins feel ashamed if they're not best friends, if they're fighting, if they're not getting along. Their parents feel like they failed if their twins are fighting. You know, it's just working through this morass of twin perceptions, and it prevents them from getting the help and the understanding that they need.
Friedman says she sees twins of all ages, not just teens trying to work through the stress of growing up. These issues can follow siblings for a lifetime.
So many of the requests for people who come to see me for help are twins in their 30s, 40s, 50s. I even had a couple in their 80s who were having so much trouble getting along, and they just needed like a mediator, because twins can be couples in conflict, and they just needed a mediator to listen to each of their points of view so that they could try to find their common way back to their love and their connection and their bond.
A bond that's thought to be unbreakable, but Friedman says can often be brittle and fragile.
This whole idea of their connection is kind of infused with this idea. The world is going to treat you the same and equal all the time. And life happens. And of course, life's never the same for anyone.
Unfortunately, this isn't the message that many twins grow up with. They're in the same classes, activities, and friend groups. They share clothes and cars and birthdays. Like Friedman's parents, many people try to keep twins together as one for as long as possible, thinking that that's the best decision for their kids. And though the bond this creates is unique and special, there's also some problematic factors that are too often ignored.
The problematic things are the competition and the comparison and the need to keep a lot of that under wraps, and a need to also not have a lot of differences. Because once the differences implode, either externally or internally, the twin relationship doesn't have the capacity to deal with conflict. You know, conflict can only be resolved if you're separate and if you agree to disagree. And twins aren't separate enough and aren't individuated enough to agree to disagree. Their whole bond is based on being the same.
Lacking a strong sense of self and identity can make personal growth really tough. And seemingly small things like dressing your twins in matching outfits can affect individuality. Friedman says that is what's most important when raising twins. Not making sure the pair is always together and equal, but teaching them that they are an individual before they are a sibling.
Nobody takes individual pictures of each twin. They're all together. They're all so cute. You know, everyone wants to see them together. And, you know, when you need a picture for a soccer team or you need something where there's alone, there never is one. So I always advocate a picture together, a picture alone with mom and dad and the other siblings, because this twin not only belongs to the twin, but he also belongs to the family unit as an individual. I was talking to this little girl, she was 8 years old, a twin, and she goes, "It really hurts my feelings that my friends don't care enough about me to know who I am." So all these little things might seem funny or silly or stupid, but they kind of mount up, you know, they build up and they build up inside of you, and it makes you really struggle.
So as a parent of twins and a twin herself, Friedman offers tips to parents on how to create a healthy bond instead of a resentful relationship that she and many of her patients experienced. Just like with all children, it's important to teach them that everything isn't always equal. And though it could seem over the top to some, Friedman suggests putting twins in different classrooms or schools if possible. She argues that this separation gives them the opportunity to learn important social interactions without a crutch to lean on.
They have to grow up sharing everything, love, time, attention, parents, and friends. And it's a drag. And by sharing friends, they never actually learn how to make a friend, because they've never made a friend on their own. And I hear this so often from adult twins, which is why I'm sort of focusing on it, is that learning how to make friends is something you learn in preschool, all that stuff. But you go to preschool with a security blanket and you don't learn any of those things.
And as Friedman mentioned earlier, spending one-on-one time with each child is critical to their personal development. While the bond between siblings is special, at the end of the day, every child needs a parent.
Parents kind of sometimes recede into the background. They don't understand that twins need actually a lot of one-on-one time, that they need help separating from each other. They need experiences where they can be apart from one another. They need to have an understanding that they can be on their own without their twin and they can be okay. I mean, there's so many things parents don't understandably think about because they're kind of guided by these perceptions about what twins should be rather than what they need.
You can find more information about Dr. Joan A. Friedman and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
Coming up, is handwriting obsolete or a necessary skill? When Radio Health Journal returns.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Before the COVID-19 pandemic, teachers were finding creative ways to integrate technology into their classrooms. And these days, remote learning has meant students as young as kindergarten are doing much more of their writing via keyboard rather than pen and pencil. For the rest of us, being able to type plays a huge role in our productivity, so it's easy to forget just how important learning and practicing handwriting is. It seems quaint and outdated, but research shows that handwriting is important in helping young students to read and spell. Writing by hand has also been shown to help students generate more ideas and retain more information. For example, think of college students taking notes in class.
It turns out people can type a lot faster than they can handwrite, which you would think would be an advantage because they can take down more notes. And in a way it is, because taking down more notes has all sorts of advantages. But when people take notes by laptop, they can take verbatim notes. You can listen to what I'm saying and take down word for word what I'm saying. Whereas when people are writing by hand, they can't do that. They write too slowly. So what you're forced to do instead is think about what's being said and pull out the most important information. In order to do that, you have to understand the information. You have to rephrase it in your own words. You have to evaluate the information. And all of those things, all of that processing of the information helps you remember it.
That's Dr. Danny Oppenheimer, professor of decision sciences at Carnegie Mellon University. Oppenheimer says note-taking and handwriting in general involve so much more than just pen needing paper.
If you think about note-taking, it's a remarkable activity. The fact that people can do it is just incredible. You're having to do all that processing. More information's coming in. If you don't process it quickly enough, it's gone. So you don't have a record of it. And if you're taking notes, it makes it even harder because you have to figure out not just what words I'm saying, but what words you want to say to convey the meaning that you care about. And you have to send motor movements down to your fingers to do very precise motor movements. All of this is happening instantaneously. We're not even consciously aware most of the time that we're doing it. So there's a ton of stuff going on at any given moment that we just, you know, take for granted.
So what does all of that processing actually look like on an MRI? Dr. Virginia Wise-Berninger is a professor emerita at the University of Washington. She and her team have studied the brain images of elementary age students who were being taught new letters.
This is a region called left fusiform gyrus. It's on the left side of the brain, but where it's located is where input from the occipital lobe, which is where the input goes from our eyes for visual stimuli and then up to the occipital lobes, but then it moves into the temporal lobes where language processing occurs. So there's this left fusiform region where visual input first becomes visible language. And it's involved not only in writing, but also in reading. So That's where we found the difference. So that, coupled with our earlier behavioral studies, convinced us that handwriting is not just a motor act.
Sounds complicated, but the long and short of it is that printing, cursive writing, and typing are all associated with different and separate brain patterns. When the students were asked to write by hand, they consistently produced more words more quickly than they did on the keyboard. They also expressed new ideas. And even more surprising, the results have to do with cursive writing.
Lo and behold, the cursive handwriting was the best predictor of spelling and rate of composing, what's called compositional fluency, much better than the manuscript handwriting, the printing. And this is grades 4 through 7, and much better than the typing. So we thought some about this, and then we went, aha, this makes sense, because with cursive writing, each of the letters has a link that links the letter to the next letter in the word, has connecting strokes. This helps children integrate all the letters in a word so they have a word unit, a spelled word.
That's especially true for grade schoolers. Berninger's studies show that the older a student gets, the more value they get from typing. She suspects that has to do with a more mature brain, especially what are called fiber tracts, which have to do with motor and sensory signals.
As we looked at our data, because we were following these children, grades 4, 5, 6, and 7, we realized that beginning grades 6 to 7, there was a greater contribution of typing to different writing skills than we had observed earlier, even though the cursive was still making more of a contribution for spelling and composing.
Both Berninger and Oppenheimer say that the positives about handwriting are clear, but obviously computers aren't going away. They're a valuable educational tool too.
I think there's some creative things, and I certainly hope as we go back to in-person learning, that instruction will cover both handwriting, manuscript and cursive, and use of computers. And I want to emphasize computer tools. There's not only keyboard, but a number of our studies involved the stylus on the pad of an iPad and how to use a mouse, that kind of thing. Whether we're at home or we're in the classroom, the kids are going to need both. They're going to have to know how to use pens and pencils to do handwriting, but also how to use not only keyboards, but other computer tools.
Oppenheimer says that it's more about the type of thinking a student is doing rather than the specific motor movements they're using.
A lot of people are surprised to learn that I require laptops in my classroom, given that I'm one of the people who has shown that laptops can have a deleterious effect on learning. But I don't let my students use laptops all the time. Every single lesson that I give them is designed sometimes to use laptops because laptops are better, and sometimes not for the places where laptops are worse. There's no easy, simple solution where it's just X is better. Anytime you use a different tool, it naturally is going to change the way you think. It's going to affect the way you process information, sometimes just because it speeds you up or slows you down, sometimes because it forces you to organize information differently. But the thing is there's a zillion online tools. All of them are different. All of them have different affordances. And it's going to take a lot of deliberative thought to develop lessons and educational plans to take advantage of that and make sure that students are learning the way we want them to.
You can find more information about Dr. Danny Oppenheimer, Dr. Virginia Wise Berninger, and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. This segment originally aired April 2021 and was written by Libby Foster. Our lead producer is Kristen Farah. Our production manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Greg Johnson.
Radio Health Journal returns in just a moment.
For John's 60th birthday, his family planned to drive down Old Route 66. But the trip took a detour when his wife got sick with RSV. It's a highly contagious virus that can lead to breathing problems and hospitalizations.
This year, we don't want to cancel our plans. We're protecting ourselves with Pfizer's RSV vaccine, Abrysvo, respiratory syncytial virus vaccine.
Abrysvo, a vaccine to prevent lower respiratory disease from RSV in people 60 years and older. It's not for everyone and may not protect all who receive it. Don't get Abrysvo if you've had an allergic reaction to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may decrease your response. Most common side effects are tiredness, headache, injection site pain, and muscle pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-844-989-7284 or visit Abrysvo.com.
So don't wait. Ask your pharmacist or doctor about Pfizer's RSV vaccine, Abrysvo, because every breath matters.
Join Macy's and UNCF to help students fulfill their potential now during Black History Month. Throughout February, you can fund scholarships for students at historically Black colleges and universities when you donate online to UNCF. Or round up your Macy's store purchase up to 99 cents and donate the extra change. Give back today, shop Black-owned brands, and find out how we're creating brighter futures for all at Macy's.com/purpose.
Tax Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give. This tax season, you get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data and a Samsung Galaxy A14 included when you buy an extended Silver Unlimited plan. Yeah. So you can give your janky phone to your kid.
Yeah! Switch to Straight Talk for plans starting as low as $25 a line per month for four lines. Find us at StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Device offer ends 4/14/24. Online only. Family plan discount with four lines all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Taxes and fees apply.
Medical notes this week. Can obesity treatment also help your brain? Experts estimate that in the next 10 years, 50% of American adults will be diagnosed with obesity, a disease that's been linked to dementia and cognitive impairment. Research in the Journal of Nutrition, Health and Aging shows that bariatric surgery could mitigate some cognitive decline. Patients showed stable cognition 2 years after the procedure, with some even improving. While it may be promising, this research is in the early stages, so different theories are still being tested. Your ancestors may be the cause of your current illness. Researchers have discovered that multi-generational exposure to toxins like insecticides and jet fuel changes their descendants' genetics for the worse. A mouse study published in Environmental Epigenetics shows that after generations of harmful exposures, the fifth unexposed generation had higher cases of kidney and prostate disease, as well as obesity. While this hasn't been tested in humans, it shows the potential dangers of these commonly used toxins on future generations. Is water harmful to older women? A new study in the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism has linked the presence of heavy metals to earlier menopause. Cadmium, mercury, and arsenic, which are commonly found in drinking water and seafood, are linked to low levels of AMH, a hormone that measures the number of available eggs in a woman's ovaries. More research is needed to understand how heavy metals affect women of all ages. And finally, exercise is good for more than just building muscle. New research in the journal Neurobiology of Learning and Memory shows that movement can improve memory. The researchers noticed a 10% improvement in participants' ability to recall a learned motor skill when they exercise before or after the lesson. They claim that this impact is true for people of all ages. And that's Medical Notes this week. I'm Shel Lustig.
For John's 60th birthday, his family planned to drive down old Route 66. But the trip took a detour when his wife got sick with RSV. It's a highly contagious virus that can lead to breathing problems and hospitalizations.
This year, we don't want to cancel our plans. We're protecting ourselves with Pfizer's RSV vaccine, Abrysvo, respiratory syncytial virus vaccine.
Abrysvo, a vaccine to prevent lower respiratory disease from RSV in people 60 years and older. It's not for everyone and may not protect all who receive it. Don't get Abrysvo if you've had an allergic reaction to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may decrease your response. Most common side effects are tiredness, headache, injection site pain, and muscle pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-844-989-7284 or visit Abrysvo.com.
So don't wait. Ask your pharmacist or doctor about Pfizer's RSV vaccine, Abrysvo, because every breath matters.
Thank you for joining us this week and every week as we break down the science stories you need to know.
You can find all of our past segments and guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X for daily content. And tune in next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC, Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
This week on Viewpoints.
We know the research shows that there is increased loneliness across basically all age levels.
A child or a teen may have straight A's, but that doesn't mean they're set for success. Then,
whether it's an exam or negotiating in a high-stakes meeting or a cross-country race, you can't just sort of go in there and wing it and hope for the best.
We speak with a high-profile performance psychologist on what it takes to be your very best. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
KFC's new Smash Potato Bowl is out here looking like an absolute snack. For just $3.49, you get crispy secret recipe fries topped with creamy mashed potatoes, cheese sauce, bacon crumbles, and even more melty cheese. If you're looking to smash your hunger, grab KFC's new Smash Potato Bowl for just $3.49. For a little extra, add nuggets to the mix. It's finger-licking good. Prices and participation may vary. Tax, tip, and fees extra.
Tax Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give. This tax season you get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data and a Samsung Galaxy A14 included when you buy an extended Silver Unlimited plan. Yeah. So you can give your janky phone to your kid.
Yeah! Switch to Straight Talk for plans starting as low as $25 a line per month for 4 lines. Find us at straighttalk.com. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com. Device offer ends 4/14/24. Online only. Family plan discount with 4 lines all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Taxes and fees apply.
For millions of students, spring is crunch time for college admission decisions. It's the culmination of 10-plus years of early mornings, long days, and lots of studying. In many ways, it can feel like nothing else matters but this make-or-break decision. And this is just one part of the larger problem within the system. This chronic pressure to succeed academically has long-term consequences, says Anna Homa Yoon, an academic advisor and early career development expert.
I had a parent call my office 3 weeks ago, and her daughter had always done academically really well in school, and then ended up getting into a college and going to that college, a very highly prestigious college that parents are very excited about her attending. And she's now on academic probation a year later because many of the life skills, so getting herself up, getting to class, managing her meals, making sure she takes her medicine, making sure she's turning in her work, being able to organize and prioritize her time, she really is struggling with.
Homa Yoon works with countless teens and early career professionals who are academically bright but struggle severely with basic social and life skills. She says that as a society, we put a huge emphasis on academic achievement, yet gloss over the fundamentals that are key to long-term happiness and success.
Just simply getting up, waking up, having a morning routine, and getting where you need to be on time is actually really undervalued.
And it's not just parents who are at fault here. It's the system itself that's so purely focused on academic and extracurricular markers of success. For many high-achieving students, this means there's little time to do much of anything else. To counteract this, Homa Yoon recommends that every parent do an audit. This means asking, what are the tasks that I routinely take care of that my child eventually needs to learn how to do themselves? This is probably a long list, but can include life tasks like learning to cook, paying a bill, getting an oil change, and so on. This list should also cover soft skills like being on time or staying organized.
I usually recommend getting together, both creating lists of, you know, the parent saying, okay, these are the things that I'm doing. The child saying, okay, these are the things my parent or caregiver takes care of. And then having the child decide what are one or two things that I'm going to take responsibility for, whether that is doing my laundry, whether that is getting up and getting ready for school and getting my morning routine down without any reminders, whether it is doing homework without distractions. You know, every kid is different. Every kid within a family is different.
Even if you don't have kids, you might realize that you yourself do the same thing. Many of us unconsciously lean on a partner or family member for certain tasks. Now is the best time to step outside of that comfort zone and take on an unfamiliar chore. Homi Yoon points out that practicing social skills also fits within this scope.
Right now, I'm working with a lot of recent college graduates who are having a really tough time having those informational interviews for jobs, because the idea of meeting someone new and trying to have a conversation with them, even for 15, 20 minutes, seems like a boulder, right? And so we want to lower what I call the activation energy, the amount of energy it takes for you to do something like that. And practice really makes it a lot easier.
The reality is that most young people aren't getting enough face-to-face interaction. A 2022 survey published by the nonprofit research firm Common Sense Media found that kids between the ages of 8 and 12 spend about 5.5 hours in front of a screen. For teens ages 13 to 18, the average was 8.5 hours.
What's really key to remember is that we as adults model these skills. We know the research shows that there's increased loneliness across basically all age levels, and that kids really want to feel connected, but often they don't know how. Family modeling is really important. So when you go to an event, how do you interact or engage with people you don't know, right? How big is your social circle? Do you have conversations, even small talk conversations, with people you engage with on a low stakes level? So maybe it's the person that walks the dog and you see them every day, or maybe it's the barista at the coffee shop. Are you engaging in a way that is, you know, positive and uplifting? And it doesn't mean we always have to be on and having all these conversations, but it does mean that we need to make sure that every child has the opportunity to practice their small talk skills.
When Homi Yoon works with school districts, she goes in and puts this social experiment into practice.
I encourage kids when they start a new school year or if they start a new school to make the goal of introducing themselves to 3 to 5 new people each week. And when I have brought that into middle schools, I have gone at the beginning of the year and I've talked to all the students. I had a principal call me 6 months into the school year, and she said, this has totally changed the way kids are engaging with each other, because they're now going out of their way, not just to introduce themselves to their classmates, but also to the teachers. And to, I have kids coming up to me. And it, the whole thing about introducing yourself to 3 to 5 new people each week is it goes beyond the, hi, how are you? Where did you go to elementary school? And it's really about having, you know, a several question or several minute conversation with new people.
So whether it's time spent socializing in person or on basic life chores, practice makes perfect. There are always going to be external pressures and challenges, but creating a solid framework of skills early on is vital. To find out more about this topic and our guest, Anna Homi Yoon, head to viewpointsradio.org. Also check out her book, Erasing the Finish Line, now available in select stores and online. For more behind the scenes and to support our show, follow Viewpoints Radio on Instagram, X, and Facebook. This segment was written and produced by Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price.
Hey, it's your girl Lonnie Love, and this segment is brought to you by Metamucil. Are you ready to take charge of your digestive health? I know I am. That's why I'm teaming up with Metamucil for the 2-week challenge. Metamucil's 4-in-1 fiber helps promote regularity. Unlike many fibers, Metamucil's psyllium fiber gels to trap and remove waste from your digestive system, helping you feel lighter and more energetic after just 2 weeks. Try the Metamucil 2-week challenge today. Learn more at Metamucil.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Coming up, are you always an emotional wreck when heading into a high-pressure situation? How to break the cycle once and for all when Viewpoints returns.
KFC's new smashed potato bowl is out here looking like an absolute snack. For just just $3.49, you get crispy secret recipe fries topped with creamy mashed potatoes, cheese sauce, bacon crumbles, and even more melty cheese. If you're looking to smash your hunger, grab KFC's new smash potato bowl for just $3.49. For a little extra, add nuggets to the mix. It's finger-licking good. Prices and participation may vary. Tax tip and fees extra.
Join Macy's and UNCF to help students fulfill their potential now during Black History Month. Throughout February, you can fund scholarships for students at historically Black colleges and universities when you donate online to UNCF. Or round up your Macy's store purchase up to 99 cents and donate the extra change. Give back today, shop Black-owned brands, and find out how we're creating brighter futures for all at Macy's.com/purpose.
For John's 60th birthday, his family planned to drive down old Route 66. But the trip took a detour when his wife got sick with RSV. It's a highly contagious virus that can lead to breathing problems and hospitalizations.
This year, we don't want to cancel our plans. We're protecting ourselves with Pfizer's RSV vaccine, Abrysvo, respiratory syncytial virus vaccine.
Abrysvo, a vaccine to prevent lower respiratory disease from RSV in people 60 years and older. It's not for everyone and may not protect all who receive it. Don't get Abrysvo if you've had an allergic reaction to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may decrease your response. Most common side effects are tiredness, headache, injection site pain, and muscle pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-844-989-7284 or visit Abrysvo.com.
So don't wait. Ask your pharmacist or doctor about Pfizer's RSV vaccine, Abrysvo, because every breath matters.
We've all been there. It's go time. And even though you've shown up prepared, thoughts of self-doubt start to creep in. Questions like, can I really do this? Or, why am I even doing this? Begin to take over. Then the physical symptoms kick in. Sweaty palms, a racing heart, and maybe the overwhelming sensation that you're going to keel over. Sometimes these feelings pass, and other times it takes a huge toll on your performance. Either way, it's never pleasant and just adds more stress to an already stressful situation. Whether it's an important interview, presentation, performance, or something else, we all want to do our very best during these big life moments. So how can we begin to change these negative patterns?
You just have to be able to stay thinking somewhat clearly in the moment. It's all about dealing with that mental turbulence when you have to go live or you want to do well or you need to do well. It's hard for people to sit down and think it through on their own because it's much easier just to get nervous and your mind automatically goes to, because your tension goes up, so your mind automatically goes to the things that could go wrong or have gone wrong or you worry that will go wrong and they never have and they probably won't, but we can make up all sorts of things.
That's Dr. Dana Sinclair, a psychologist who helps people perform at their very best in critical high-pressure moments. Over the years, she's coached pro athletes, performers, CEOs, and even surgeons on how to get out of their heads and push past these invisible barriers. She's also the author of the book, Dialed In, Do Your Best When It Matters Most. She says there's so many people who have raw talent but fail to mold it into long-term success.
I've seen a lot of people sort of flame out in their careers, even though they're very talented, while other people who are more mediocre in their talent have risen to the top. So I think it's very important not to just settle on talent, but know that character, your mindset, how you approach things is extremely important, being able to harness your talent and make your skills work for you.
Sinclair says that each person she works with is different. As an example, some athletes are able to perform incredibly well in the moment, but this could shift suddenly because they're lacking a solid foundation.
I do a lot of draft work for different teams. So I go in, say, to the NBA draft and I talk to individual prospects and I'm trying to find out in a very limited period of time just what that person is like. If the team does select them, what do we have to develop? What's going to help this person move quicker through their career? But there's also characteristics that you know are flags that are going to hold them back. So if somebody isn't very disciplined, if they're a bit of a hothead, if they can't focus, if they won't listen, if they don't show up on time, these types of things can be quite detrimental to their talent. Whereas, you know, I've seen other people who are mediocre and they are able to focus, they do listen to instructions, they do show up, they do check in with themselves and work on their weaknesses, they are reliable under pressure. Those people with that kind of character, we'll call it, tend to excel beyond what people expect.
In her eyes, character and mindset are two key ingredients for success. You're already halfway there if you're willing to look back and work on how a past job interview or presentation went. When picturing these moments, try to pinpoint how exactly you felt in the minutes leading up to the event.
We do tend to complicate it, for sure. So the biggest things that get in people's way, you know, expectations, fear of failure, worrying about results, being self-critical, being too negative. It could be anything that gets in the way. So I do like to talk about there's a few myths that have to be sort of busted along the way, because we grew up with all this rhetoric on what it takes to perform well. You've got to work hard and all of that stuff. And really, it's about working better and not harder. So I talk about things like confidence. Everybody goes on about how important confidence is. And while you might want it, it's definitely overrated. And I don't even spend all that much time with my clients on it, because we have to get away from how they feel, because that's confidence, onto what they need to do in the moment.
Building confidence in yourself is important, but it's not everything. It's an emotion. And some days you're not going to feel as confident, and that's okay. One big tip she pushes to her clients is this.
It sounds funny, but breathing is a huge skill that you can do in 5 seconds to bring your tension down so you can actually think a little bit and focus a little bit. So that's the number one thing. There's lots of ways to breathe, but my clients don't have time to go sit down for half an hour and calm down. They need to do it right now. So, you know, you're at the top of a mountain, heading down a ski course, you need to sort of settle in 5 seconds before that start gate. So again, these things are applicable to all of us in any of our performance lives, and we all perform, so we can all use it.
Sinclair remembers when she worked with an American Idol contestant who had passed the early auditions and was on her way to Hollywood. Even though she'd made the cut, she kept fixating on how she was in over her head and wasn't good enough. Sinclair jumped in and pushed her to refocus on the next audition.
I'm trying to get people off of how they feel onto what they need to do in the moment. And so what she had to do, 3 things. She had to breathe before. She had to sort of keep trying to settle herself down, which is very smart. She had to remind herself just to connect to the song so her mind didn't veer off onto how it was going to go so poorly. And then in the moment, too, while she was actually auditioning, she had to remind herself at certain points to stay on top of her high notes. So she's actually talking to herself through the performance. And this is what I want people to know, is that you don't just start and let it happen. You can actually talk your way through something and get a much better result.
So when reflecting back on a high-pressure moment, Sinclair says to list out your positives first. What did you do well? Any parts you're proud of? Then focus on any improvements or modifications.
Don't be afraid. Look at yourself. Be honest. Pick out those one or two things that really help you and what you like, and the other one or two things that, you know, I do need to be better at this. Then learn how to shift when you drift, as in when you're coming into a situation that you're worried about, whether it's just an interaction or a conflict or asking for a promotion or having to present in a meeting. Grab a couple of skills. What should I do in the moment? Do I just have to keep looking at the person just to make them think that I'm open and I'm actually listening? Because that will help. What do I have to do? Do I have to read the question a lot more carefully when I'm doing an exam? If I'm in an interview, should I just sit tall and look at the interviewer so that, and then remind myself to actually listen to what they're asking me instead of just running ahead or interrupting? So these are some small things that you can do once you know what you should address as yourself, because it is different for everybody.
And don't forget to get in the right headspace the day of. Pinpoint what will help you feel relaxed, calm, and mentally sharp going in. This could mean heading to the gym, going for a walk, listening to music, or spending some time with a close friend. In the hour before, take a few minutes to close your eyes and do some deep breathing. Fast forward to post-performance, and it's over and done, and you can let out a sigh of relief. But before you plop down, Sinclair recommends doing this while it's still fresh.
I always get people to check in on themselves. After an event, performance, rate yourself. Give yourself a number from 1 to 10, 1 being lousy, 10 being brilliant. Then actually write down, it only takes a few minutes, write down what went well, what you're pleased about, and then conversely, what didn't go so well, what you'd like to change for next time. Then you've got a pretty clear idea of what you need to adjust for the next performance.
To find out more about our guest this week, Dr. Dana Sinclair, visit viewpointsradio.org. For more behind the scenes, search Viewpoints Radio on Instagram, X, and Facebook. This story was written by our executive producer, Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson. This segment is brought to you by Capital One. You don't need special gadgets to be a hero. With unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, the Capital One Quicksilver Card makes you the hero of every purchase. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
Tax Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give. This tax season you get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data and a new Samsung Galaxy A15 for just $99. So you can give your janky phone to your kid.
Yeah!
Good talk.
Switch to Straight Talk for plans starting as low as $25 a line per month for 4 lines. Find us at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Device offer ends 4/14/24. In-store activation on single Silver Unlimited plan or higher required. Family plan discount with 4 lines all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Taxes and fees apply.
KFC's new smash potato bowl is out here looking like an absolute snack. For just $3.49, you get crispy secret recipe fries topped with creamy mashed potatoes, cheese sauce, bacon crumbles, and even more melty cheese. If you're looking to smash your hunger, grab KFC's new smash potato bowl for just $3.49. For a little extra, add nuggets to the mix. It's finger-licking good. Prices and participation may vary. Tax, tip, and fees extra.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. The Super Bowl is the one game every year where ads are part of the main attraction. Companies get more creative with their campaigns and pay top dollar for these coveted spots. If you watched the game this year, do you remember the animated orange-colored ads for the brand Temu? The discount shopping app advertised 5 times during this year's Super Bowl, spending close to $35 million. But what exactly is Temu, and why has it gotten so big so quickly? The Chinese-owned e-commerce company is all about selling heavily marked down items, often at a cheaper price than its online rival Amazon. You can find fast fashion clothes, home decor, even electronics, all under $20. Temu has publicly said that they're able to offer these prices because they're selling directly from the manufacturer to the consumer. But are these prices still too good to be true? While some of these items come from the same sellers as Amazon, others stem from different manufacturers that use lower quality materials and practices that may not pass U.S. safety standards. The issue is that you don't really know what you're getting when you order. There are also several reports of the company collecting and selling shoppers' private data. There are currently 2 class action lawsuits in the U.S. against Temu, one alleging it asks users for access to 2 dozen permissions through the app. Among these were access to fingerprint information and local Bluetooth and Wi-Fi networks. So while the prices look good up front, there may be more to the deal than meets the eye. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. Dune Part 2 is coming out on Friday, and I'm officially hyped to see it. I mean, I was always going to see it. I remember watching the first Dune in this Denis Villeneuve